and talk with Vincent Vernuccio, who is the Director of Labor Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Vincent, did I do your last name justice?
You did it perfect, Justice Story. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on the program. I want to talk about a couple of stories that you wrote, viewpoints on public issues. First of all, emergency managers. That's almost a bad word here in the state of Michigan. You write, it's a distasteful necessity. Elaborate.
Well, that's right. I mean, listen, nobody likes putting an emergency manager in to take over a township. But the problem is that some of these townships, some of these cities, some of these municipalities like Encores, like some of the Detroit school districts are so far gone that there needs to be extreme measures. Do we like it? Do we want to do that? No, but, you know, the alternative is bankruptcy. The alternative is turning Michigan into California, having Detroit turn into Stockton, into Vallejo out there, which had a drastically cut public services, which really got into bad waters because they didn't have the type of safety nets that Michigan has. Now, with the emergency managers, remember, it is an absolute last resort, and a lot of these municipalities in these areas have so many steps they can take to alleviate the problem before it gets to needing an emergency manager.
There's an argument, especially for the folks being affected, the workers where emergency managers are placed, that they have too much power and that those affected don't have enough of say. How do you respond to that?
Well, what you're talking about, it really comes down to the Public Act 4, which beefed up the emergency manager law. Essentially, what Public Act 4 did was give the emergency managers the ability to amend collective bargaining agreements, so amend the contracts of government workers. And the argument for that is simply that these contracts are bankrupting the city. It's, you know, the outrageous pension plans, the benefits that are much greater for the government workers than those workers in the private sector, and the tax base simply can't afford it. And once again, you go back to California, look at some of these cities that went through bankruptcy. It was the workers themselves that had to take the worst haircut because the city couldn't right its own ship, especially in places like Stockton. So long-term, the emergency managers are actually going to help the city workers by preventing the city or the municipality from having to take those drastic measures.
We have heard from union leaders, Vincent, that emergency managers in Public Act 4 is just a calculated way for unions to lose power.
Not at all. I mean, emergency managers are a last resort. They're not something that the government takes lightly, even in Lansing, even in the municipalities and the cities. Now, remember, David Bing in Detroit even said that, hey, sometimes, you know, you need these extra powers because the collective bargaining agreements are so entrenched and are so impossible to change and are costing the city so much money that something has to be done. So it's not an attack on anything with unions or collective bargaining privileges. It's simply a necessity, and it is a distasteful necessity, but it has to be done, and you really have to step back and look, how did the city or municipality get into these dire straits? They have to look at all the steps that they had to fail before it came to that and all the chances they had to pull out of it.
You know, Vincent, after reading your story, I started thinking about how many times we've covered emergency manager stories, and I started thinking, we don't have enough smart people with enough smart plans on how to deal with what they're doing when it comes to budgets, when it comes to projections of revenues that one might take in, that one may not take in. We've got to get smarter people placed, and we've got to get smarter in the way we plan.
Well, Tony, actually, no offense, I got to disagree with you there. It's not, you know, having intelligence. It's looking, okay, we want to put out as much money or less than we take in. I mean, it really comes down to as simple as that, and when you look at some of these long-term promises, these long-term benefits, which are passing the buck onto future generations and future taxpayers, you don't need a rocket scientist to say, hey, this is really going to hurt us going forward, and we have to live within our means.
All right, Vincent. For example, here in Lansing, they made a projection. They didn't hit the projection in taxes, so they had to make some cuts. Isn't there a way to be able to, worst case scenario, say, what are we going to do if we don't get this before it actually happens?
Well, you see, that's where the extra powers of the emergency manager comes in, because if you do make a projection and you do expect, okay, we're going to raise X amount in tax revenue, and then you make promises, especially the promises in the collective bargaining agreement said, okay, we expect to get X in and we're going to spend Y, then you don't get that money in. Unfortunately, you're stuck with the collective bargaining agreements where you still have to pay out all of this money no matter what. And those are usually pretty much set in stone and extremely, extremely difficult to change. And that's why you do have elected officials saying, hey, I need an emergency manager to come in here because my hands are tied with these collective bargaining agreements.
Vincent Vernuccio is the director of labor policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. He recently wrote another piece titled Protect Our Jobs, What Make Union Bosses the Most Powerful People in Michigan. That's a pretty bold statement.
Well, it's a pretty bold ballot proposal. What this would do is it would enshrine unionization in the Michigan Constitution. And for the most part, we're talking about government unions, public sector workers here, not the private sector. The private sector is governed by federal law. So the bill would basically make it impossible for Michigan to become a right-to-work state, and that would affect workers in the private sector. But the real nitty-gritty detail and the bulk of this amendment deals with workers for the government. And essentially what it would do is it would make every government sector collective bargaining agreement have the power of the Constitution, essentially making it a mini constitutional convention. And because those contracts would have the power of the Constitution, they could overrule laws. And even the Attorney General has come out and said, I mean, it would just be scores of laws this amendment would overrule. And even parts of the Constitution would change. And in fact, the Board of Canvassers are meeting this morning in Lansing to see if this thing is too broad and too widespread to actually go on the ballot, and if it can be explained in 100 words or less, which is the constitutional requirement.
Vincent, what do you think? And I know you're projecting here, but what do you think if this got on the ballot? How do you think the vote would go?
Well, that's the thing. You know, there's been recent polls where it's been polling a little bit ahead, but once people learn what's actually in there, that it would give union bosses a veto over legislation and how far and how widespread this thing would be and how much it would change the power structure in Michigan, those polls drop. So what it really comes down to is, will people know what's actually in this? And I think when people do, then it's going to go down pretty substantially. If they don't, and it's just the collective bargaining rights amendment, then it'll probably be a toss-up. But the more people know about this, the more they dig in, the less they like it. So the big thing is education right now.
You can go to the website at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy to read Vincent. Fascinating stuff, Vincent. We appreciate your time.
Hey, great. And if they want to know all about the ballots, Mackinac has put up a new website. It's called MI, that's Michigan, MIBallot2012.org.
All right. Enjoy your day, Vincent.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Live in studio, we've got State Representative Opsomer. Paul, what do you think about Protect Our Jobs? Do you agree with what Vincent just said?
I strongly agree.